Good morning, everybody. Chodesh Tov. Good Chodesh to all. Month of Menachem Av. Sad month, obviously. Starts the 9 days. Today starts the 9 days, the infamous 9 days on the Jewish calendar, culminating in the super sad day of Tisha B'Av. But then the next week we have Tu B'Av, which is such an uplifting day. And historically in Jewish life in Israel, it was a very, very happy day. So let's hope and pray that Tisha B'Av will be forever turned into a joyous day, and let it be this year. And without further ado, welcome aboard, Introduction to Talmud 101, and we are studying Tainis, Ta'anit, and we're on page 2, we're on side 2B, Beis Amud Beis. So I guess you could say Shakespearean way, Shakespearean style 2B, or not 2B? Well, the answer is yeah, 2B. So let's get right to it. We are going to start with Rabbi Omer. Okay, go down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the very, very top on 2B, if you're following along. 6 lines from the very top on 2B at the two dots. Okay, now we're going to be exploring the sources for saying the prayer of Mashiva Ruach, whether it's during the day or whether it's during the night. We're going to be seeing some sources that would suggest one way or the other. That's where we're going to be questioning today. Now, that's not the only kind of question today. We're going to try to work our way down the page. We're not going to dive it up. We're going to go slowly. But I think we can make some headway today in order to get to the very next little mini-sugya within this chapter. So again, here we go. You'll recall from the Mishnah, it says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Miyom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag. And we begin to mention the declaration, Mashiv Ruach Morid HaGeshem, you are the one God who makes the wind blow and the rain fall. And he says we should say that on the very first day of Yom Tov, on day one of Sukkot. How about that? He wants it recited starting on day one of Sukkot. Of course, the Mishnah also has a contra teaching to that. Rabbi Yoshua says, no, we don't say that on the first day of Sukkot. We say that on the last day of Sukkot, which is, of course, its own holiday, known as Shmini Atzeres. So we have inside our Mishnah a machloket, a debate, a confrontation, a little bit of a fight. Let's see where our Talmud takes us today. Do we say Mashiv HaRuach starting in the daytime, or do we say it's starting in the nighttime? And as you know, in the Jewish thought, in Jewish law, the holiday, a holiday, Shabbos, even a regular day, starts the night before. So it starts at sundown. Say, for instance, Shabbos. So Friday night, right? Lel Shabbos begins at sundown. Shabbos begins at sundown on Friday night. Extends all the way through the rest of the night and into the next day. And so you wake up and it's Shabbos, but Shabbos started the night before. It didn't start at midnight. It started at sundown, whenever that was, 6 o'clock. In New York City, where I'm from, Shabbos, and early days would come in at 4:15, 4:30 in the fall. Then I spent time in London in a law firm doing some interning at my first year of law school. And in the summertime, Shabbos would begin roughly like 10 o'clock at night. I mean, something absolutely crazy. So, but it all depends. It all depends when the sun sets. Now, the question is, when do we begin the recitation of Mashiv HaRuach? According to Rabbi Eliezer, when should it start? At the very night when the holiday technically begins? Or should it be in the morning? That's the question. Okay, so here we go. Ibayalahu, stop. Whenever you see the term Ibayalahu, what do you immediately think? Immediately. I mean, I should be able to wake you up in the middle of the night. And you have to say, oh, Ibayalahu? Oh, that introduces an informational question. Because remember, in Chappelle's we learned that you either have an informational question or an attack question. There are really no other questions that the Talmud asks. It's either seeking information or it's trying to destroy somebody else's position. But there's nothing else out there, okay? It's a binary world. You can't say, well, I'm going to identify neither as an attack question nor as an informational question. I'm going to be another kind of a question. There is no other kind of question. So in a bayalaho, and also in the singular, ibayale, he requested of him, okay? Ibayalahu, they requested, meaning they're seeking information. Rabbi Eliezer, mehecha gamirla, seeking an informational source, like tell us something. Where does he get it from? What is his source? Where did he derive the ruling that you're supposed to mention Mashiva Ruach on the first day of Sukkot? Okay? Where does he get that from? And the research we're going to do right now is going to really help us figure out where the prayer should be located. Says the, it well, answers, I guess, answers the Talmud, Milulav Gamala, Omenesachamayim Gamala. Where did he derive out this law that he's promulgating that you say Mashiva Ruach in the first day, on the first day of Sukkot? Did he learn that out from the mitzvah of lulav? Milulav Gamala? Did he learn out from taking the lulav and the esrig and the hadasim and the aravos and putting it all together in a beautiful bundle and then you shake it? Is that where he gets the idea from? That just like you do that on opening day of Sukkot, you take the bundle of vegetation and you wave it, and you do that on day one of Sukkot. You don't take that on day two. You can, and you should. But day one is when the mitzvah really is called, you know? So if that's the case, did he learn it out from that? Did he learn that you're supposed to say Mashiva Ruach because you take the bundle of vegetation on day one of Sukkot, and therefore, okay, so since, now watch this, I mean, it's not that difficult, because the vegetation bespeaks a need for rain, I mean, how are you going to get that outside of rain? How are you going to get a lulav and a citron and myrtle and the hadassim? How are you going to get that? How is it going to grow without rain? So by putting these beautiful pieces of vegetation together, I always thought it was maybe like you were doing it for peace. I don't know if I ever thought about it like this before. To me, it's like it's something new, and it's like I can't believe I never thought of it or never knew about it. But it's all one big thank you to God for rain and a further plea for rain going forward, showing God we're only taking vegetation because we're able to. We're only able to because you send the rain. So please send rain. So if that's the case, if you're taking the Arba Minim, the four species, on day one of Sukkot, and it shows, it represents the need for rain, so maybe that's where he's learning it from. So to clear on day one, we need rain. God makes it rain because I'm holding the vegetation, which testifies to God sending rain. So as long as I'm doing that, might as well put in a declaration of fact. You, God, make the wind blow, and you, God, make the rain fall. And it works perfectly. So now you understand why he's arguing we should say it on day one, because we're taking the lulav and esrog on day one. And if that represents rain, then you might as well say a prayer for rain or make a declaration of rain. And you know what? Now, when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. So is he getting it from that? Is he getting the idea you're supposed to say Mashiva Ruach because we hold a package of vegetation which reflects the need and the blessing of rain in our lives? Or Omenesachamayim Gamala? Or did he derive that you're supposed to say Mashiva Ruach? And I'm going to use those two words in Hebrew. But what it means is he makes the wind blow, he makes the rain fall. Okay, I can't keep on repeating that in English. But that's what that phrase means. Mashiva Ruach u'morid ha-geshem. So I'm going to just truncate it to two words in Hebrew. And whenever you hear Mashiva Ruach, think he makes the wind blow, he makes the rain fall. Okay? So you say Mashiva Ruach on day one, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe it's because of the ritual of Nisach HaMayim. What is that all about? Footnote. The Mishnah in Sukkah teaches that on each of the 7 days of Sukkot, water was ceremoniously poured on the altar, on the Mizbeach, in the temple. Here in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara teaches that the purpose of the ceremony was to beg God for a favorable judgment concerning the rainfall for the coming year. It's possible, therefore, that Rabbi Eliezer designated, watch this, that Rabbi Eliezer, who wants you to say Mashiv Ruach on day one, that he designated the first day of Sukkot as the day for beginning the recital of Mashiv HaRuach, because that's the day when the water libation service begins. And because it's all about water, because the Nisuch HaMayim service is all about the blessing that we have in our lives, that Hashem sends rain, and we have water to drink and to cook with and to irrigate our fields with, and all the myriad things that we do with water, but mostly those. So we might as well start saying Mashiv Baruch. You make the wind blow, you make the rain fall. Because we start off the holiday of Sukkot with the delightful ritual of the water libation, which I just read about. So that starts on day one of Sukkot. So why not make a declaration of fact in the Shemoneh Esrei, in the Amidah, in the standing silent prayer, that God makes the rain fall. As long as we're celebrating with a water ritual, see, you might as well make a declaration. Hashem is the origin of that. Hashem sends the rain so we can have the water, so we can have the ritual. Again, it makes perfect sense. Start things off on day one. Why are you waiting for day eight? If you take the vegetation, says the footnote, all of these species that we take, Lola of Esra, going back to that for a second, they all are dependent on rain for their survival. And by holding them, says Art Scroll, we highlight the fact that the world cannot exist without rain. And we thereby beg God for a favorable decision on the world's rainfall for that year. All of this is suddenly making a lot of sense. We didn't see these reasons offered in the Mishnah when we did the Mishnah a couple of days ago. All we saw over there is that Rabbi Eliezer says we should say Mashiv Ruach on day one. Well, day one? Why day one? The answer is, well, it could be this or it could be that. It could be that we're taking the vegetation on day one. So make a declaration on day one. Or we do Nisach HaMayim, the water libation ritual. Starts on day one. So make a declaration that Hashem sends the rain on day one. Now suddenly I'm beginning to be a fan of Rabbi Eliezer. And now the Talmud has just thrown out two opportunities, two theories. Is it because we take the vegetation, the four species, or is it because of the water libation ceremony? The Talmud is now going to continue to flesh it out. Milulav Gamarla, let's say that he's learned out the need to say Mashiv HaRuach from the lulav, from the four species. And here is that sing-song voice that I often use. And when I was working for the city of New York in the Human Rights Commission, Lanny Alexander, who became the managing editor, she'd say, Paul, you know, we're not studying the Talmud over here. You know, you don't have to use the sing-song voice. It's like it becomes a part of you. Just like, then not to this. So here's the... here's my little sing-song voice. Ma lulav bayom. Just as the mitzvah of lulav and esrig and adasim and aravis begins bayom. Bo bayom. On that very day. On day one. Did I just say that? Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Ma lulav bayom. Just like the mitzvah of lulav begins in the daytime. It applies only during the day. You can't, not at night. You cannot take lulav and esrog and do the mitzvah at nighttime. It's unthinkable. Nobody does that. And how do you know that? because the mitzvah, the pasuk says, "Ulekachtam lachem bayom harishon," and you shall take the species for yourself on the first day. Now, why don't you ask me a question? That's right. If you're out there listening, you can ask me a question. And the question is, oh, wait, Plotzy man, hold off. What do you mean only during daylight hours? Didn't you say to us 10 minutes ago that in Jewish law, a day, a holiday, the Sabbath day, whatever the day is, it starts the night before? If a day or the Shabbos or the holiday of Sukkot, if it starts Tuesday night and you sit in the Sukkot Tuesday night to start things off, so then why can you not? Why can't you take the four species during the nighttime? I know that the pasuk says, take them by Yom HaRishon on the first day. But because a Jewish day begins in the evening, the night before, so then take it that night. And I'm asking myself a better question than I can give myself an answer for. I'm serious now. I'm not trying to, you know, brag, but it just hit me. We know that the day, any day in the Jewish calendar starts the night before. So then when the Torah says, take it by Yom HaRishon in the first day, take it at night. When the sun sets, pick it up. Be consistent. I got to say, I don't really know how to answer that off the cuff. I'm sure somebody wiser and smarter who's given us some thought will have an answer on the spot. But, you know, my lulav by yom, just like lulav is done during the daytime, I'm going, wait a second. If your proof is that the pasuk says by Yom HaRishon on day one, that's no proof. Because day one of the holiday starts the night before. I'm going to write that down. But the Yom Tov starts the night before. Okay. Good. As long as I wrote that down, I'll try to remember to ask somebody. If I get an answer, I'll share it with you. So, but at the moment, listen, people, let's just go along with the Talmud. Let's just go with the idea that it's got to be done during daytime. Okay? So just like lulav has got to be done in the daytime, so too, af haskara bayom. So then, so too, the mentioning of the power of this prayer, mashavarach, the Gevuras Geshamim prayer, so too the mention of the powers of rain begins in the daytime. Okay, so that can work, assuming that I'm happy with an answer, you know, that it's only during the daytime. So just like you only take the lulav and esrog during the day when the sun is up and not at night, so then also just, you know, declare it during the day, make this declaration to start things off. Obviously, we're going to be, you know, you say it for the rest of Shemoneh Esrei, morning, afternoon, and night. So, of course, you're going to be saying Marsha Baruch at night. The question is, when do you begin? When do you kick things off? Do you kick things off in the evening, or do you kick things off during the day? Odilma says the Talmud, or maybe, and now we're going to pivot away from possibility number one and go into possibility number two. Odilma, or maybe he's learning out that you got to say Marsha Baruch during the daytime, Minisach HaMayim Gamala. Maybe he's learning it out from the ritual of the water libation. Ma, and here we go with my sing-song voice again. Ma, Minisach HaMayim Me'urta. Just like the water libation service can be held at night. I'm sorry. Just like the water libation service, yeah, may be held at night. Damar mar, for the master said, in regards to Musaf offerings, u'minchasam v'niskehem, and their meal offerings and their wine libations, those words in the Bible, u'minchasam, v'niskehem, and their mincha offerings, and their wine libations. Afilu balayla, those can be brought even at night. Af haskara b'me'orta, so too, the mention of the prayer, mashivaruch, should also begin at night. Which one is it going to be? Where did he derive his ruling that you begin on day one mentioning Moshe Berach? Is it from the four species? And if so, then we have to start saying it during only daylight hours, because that's when the mitzvah of lulav applies. Only daylight hours. You can only fulfill the mitzvah of shaking, holding it, praying with it, etc., whatever, with the four species only during the day. Did he get it from that, from the four species, or did he get it from Nisuch HaMayim? And Nisuch HaMayim was able to be held at night. The water libations, that was done at night. Wine libations done at night. And if that's the case, then even you can even mention the declaration of Moshe Berach also at night. So then which one is it? Which one is it? Is it from the mitzvah of lulav that he gets it from? Or does he get it from Nisuch HaMayim, from the ritual of the water libations? Tashma, so here's an attempt at an answer. Tashma, come on the following proof. Usually a Tashma comes to offer some sort of answer, but as we saw in Chagiga, if I'm not mistaken, that we saw some instances over there where, as Rabbi Feigenbaum taught me, the Tashma is effectively introducing an attack, as if to say, you're asking a question, how can you not know the answer to that question? It's explicitly a brisa. How could you not know the brisa? And so the Talmud comes quickly to put out the fire and distinguishes between the brisa, which talks about XYZ, and what we're looking to find out, ABC. And so the Talmud will bring that brisa, will try to kind of answer up that quiet attack question asked by the Tashma. But over here, I've noticed it's kind of an answer, a real genuine effort to make an answer. I may be wrong, but that's how I see it. Tashma, come and learn. Dama Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu said as follows. Lola Madach Rabbi Eliezer Elamilulav. Rabbi Eliezer derived his ruling. You're supposed to say Mashiva Ruach during the day. How did he know? Because he learned it out from lulav. Not from the water libations. And therefore, like the mitzvah of lulav, can only be done during daytime. So too, the mention of rain, the Mashiva Ruach, begins in the daytime on the first day of Sukkot. Okay, so that's this Tashma is coming with an answer, a legitimate answer. Ike the Amri, there are those who say, Rabbi Abahu Gemara Gamirla, that he had a tradition from his teachers. The Ike the Amri Masnisa Shmile. And then there are those who say that he heard a brisa in which this teaching was recorded, that Rabbi Eliezer was learning it out from lulav. Well, as long as you're going to mention that there's a brisa, you know what the Talmud's going to do now. Ask to inspect that brisa. And that's exactly and precisely what the Talmud does right now. Mayhi, what brisa, which brisa are we talking about? What does it say? The Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Here it is. Here comes the brisa, which will be telling us that you should say Mashiva Ruach during the daytime. Rabbi Eliezer says that. He's going to mention Rabbi Eliezer explicitly in the brisa. It was taught in the brisa, May Masai Maskirin Alagashamim. From whence do we mention rain? Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer said, Misha'as Netilas Lulav. How about that? From the time the lulav is first taken, and when is the lulav first taken? We don't take it in the evening. We take it rather during the morning of the first day. That's Rabbi Eliezer. From when do we mention rain? From the time the lulav is first taken. Explicitly a brisa. Amazing. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Mishas Hanachaso. Not from the time you pick up the lulav, rather the time that the lulav is put down, when you're meniach the lulav, right? Laniach tefillin is to lay down tefillin on your arm. So laniach lulav means to lay down the lulav, meaning to put it down and not, you know, pick it up again. Just kind of leave it there. One, that is to say, one begins to mention rain when on the eighth day, after the lulav is used for the last time, on the seventh day of Sukkot, and we all do that, right? On the seventh day of Sukkot, you have all the akafas. That's Hashana Rabba. You do all the seven akafas, and then you use the lulav, and you beat the arabas on the ground, the whole thing. So, Rabbi Yeshua says, you're supposed to say, Mashiv Ruach, Misha'as Hanachaso. From the time the lulav is put down, one begins to mention rain, therefore, because Rabbi Yeshua, and this is how he feels, as we saw in the Mishnah, on the eighth day, after the lulav is used for the last time, on the last day of Sukkot, this brisa states that Rabbi Eliezer derived his ruling from the mitzvah of what? Of lulav. Just like you pick up the lulav on day one, so you should begin the prayer. You should make the declaration that Hashem sends the rain on day one. Okay? That's the brisa. It's amazing that we have that brisa. The brisa is going to continue. But at least now we are beginning to understand where Rabbi Eliezer is getting it from. He quite possibly could be reflected in this brisa. Now remember that this answer, this explanation of the brisa on behalf of Rabbi Eliezer, that's not mentioned in the Mishnah. We don't have any mentioning as to his thinking. All we have is his law that you pick it up on, that you say Mashiv Ruach on day one. That's all we know from our Mishnah. Thanks to our brisa, we now know that there is method to this. Rabbi Eliezer feels that just like you pick up lulav on day one, so too you should say the Mashiv Ruach on day one. Well, we're not done with that brisa, so let's continue citing it. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said, in this brisa, Ho'il va'arba'as minin halalu, einin bo'in elu l'ratza salamayim. We kind of said this earlier. Since the four species, lulav, esrik, hadassim, aravas, since these four species are taken on Sukkot, einin bo'in elu l'ratza salamayim. The only reason why we do take them, the only reason why we pick up these four species and make a bundle out of them is to entreat God regarding water. Ain and bun, they literally, ain and bun, they don't come, they don't attend to us. We don't pick up these four species, except for one reason. Elorazos alamaya, only to, you know, beg and plead with God that he send us water. Because by holding them, we're conveying that what? When we hold the Arba Minim, the four species in our hands, here's what we're basically saying. The brisa continues. Uchshem sha'arba minin halalu, i'efshar bahem belomayim. Just as like it's impossible to grow these four species, lulav and esrog, etc., etc., without water. Kach i'efshar la'olam belimayim. So too, it's impossible for the world to exist without water. So because of the symbolism of the four species, which represent the need for rain, the blessing of rain, if not for rain, we wouldn't be able to hold these pieces of vegetation in our hands. So we therefore are begging God, God, look at us. You told us to do this mitzvah. We're doing the mitzvah, and we realize that you are in charge of the rain. Because if he didn't give us rain, we wouldn't be able to hold anything. We'd be holding our hands in prayer. We wouldn't have a lulav and esrog, etc., hadassim and aravos. So please send rain. Therefore, according to this, the day we begin to mention Ma'ashiv Ruach, it should coincide with the day that we begin to hold the four species. And since we hold the four species beginning on day one, that's when we should make the declaration of Ma'ashiv Ruach, that God sends the rain. Also on day one. Once you understand, once he gives you a reason, excuse me, makes all the sense in the world. How can anybody fight against that? Well, Rabbi Yeshua will. Naturally, let's see what he says. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Yeshua says exactly what he said in the Mishnah. Ba'alo gishamim b'chag eino ela simon klalo. But wait a second. My dear colleague, Rabbi Eliezer, I, Rabbi Joshua, say, rain on the festival of Sukkot is nothing but a curse. So why are you praying for rain on day one? You pray for rain on day one. We're not sitting in the Sukkot the whole yontif. If God's going to listen to our prayers, he'll send us the rain because that's what we're asking for. If you send enough rain, we're not going to be able to sit in the Sukkot and do that mitzvah of sitting in the Sukkot. So then why are you doing that? To ask Rabbi Yeshua, to his colleague, Rabbi Eliezer, why would you want to pray for rain to fall on day one? Nobody in his right mind would want that. We all want to sit in the Sukkah. We all want to be able to live in the Sukkah. Teshvu came to Duru. When the Pasuk says, Besukos, you know, Besukos Teshvu, Shivas Yamin. In Sukkos, you will sit. You will dwell 7 days. The verb is Lashevet, literally to sit. But it also can mean a little bit more than sitting. You know, spending time, hanging out, living, perhaps. Say the rabbis, when you see the word teshvu, you shall sit. In the Bible, came to do. So then you're guided to act this way. Came to do. The way that you live your daily life in your normal house, where you eat and you study and you interact and you raise a family and all whatever it is that you do in your house, that's what you should be doing in the Sukkah. That you should sit and live in the Sukkah the way you live during the year in your house. So if that's the case, if you were to ask for rain on day one and it starts coming down on day one and day two and day three and day six, how am I supposed to, what happens to Yeshiva Sukkah? What happens to sitting in the sukkah, living in the sukkah like I normally do? I don't have to get soaked in the sukkah. I'm not obligated to. And I can leave if it gets wet. So if that's the case, I'm never going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah because I wound up praying for rain. And God in his mercy listened to my prayers. He sent the rain. And I got washed out of the whole sukkah thing. Why would anybody want to do that? Asks Rabbi Yeshua to his colleague. I mean, it's a great question. We didn't hear a great answer. I think we already saw that in the Mishnah. He's going to flesh it out even more here in the Brisa. But Eliezer is going to respond. I'm a Lord Eliezer to this great question of, you know, why are you insisting that we start saying Ma'ashiv Ruach on day one? That's just only going to invite God to send rain on day one all the way for the rest of the holiday, and we're going to get washed out of our sukkah and never be able to sit in the sukkah. So what's been gained? What'd you do that for? Why are you praying for rain on day one? Answers will be lesser. I'm not. Do you believe it? I'm not praying for rain. Huh? Let's let him speak. I'm a Lord be lesser. Lesser responded to Rabbi Yeshua. Afani lo amarti lishol. Even I am not saying we should be asking for rain on day one. I'm not getting in there begging God to start sending rain on day one. I'm with you. Basically, I'm with you. I mean, I don't want to see rain on day one. I don't say that we should be requesting rain. Only I'm mentioning it. That's all I say. All I'm saying is that we should mention the greatness of God. That he sends the rain. He makes the wind blow and he sends the rain down. That's all I'm saying. That we should make this declaration of fact. In the Ma'ashiv Ruach prayer, I'm not asking for rain. I'm simply declaring a fact. God makes the wind blow. God makes the rain come down. Where in that prayer did I make a prayer? a plea, a request for rain. I'm not. I'm simply saying, I'm stating an obvious fact that God sends the rain. I'm not asking for rain on day one. I also want to sit in the sukkah. But, he says, we should start the declaration of Mashivurach on day one, because why not? We take the lulav and esrog on day one. That's reflective. That reflects upon our need for rain. So if you're starting to take these four species on day one, which quietly, in a very subtle way, they are, part of the plea to the Almighty that he should remember us for rain. So if you do that on day one, then we're showing God, look what you blessed us with. He gave us rain. So give us rain again. But only in its proper time, says Rabbi Eliezer. I'm not saying I should be asking for rain on day one. I'm not going to ask for rain on day one. But I do think we should make a declaration that God has the power to send rain on day one. That's all I'm saying. That we make that, that we say that prayer. It's not a plea for rain. It's a statement of fact. And watch the genius argument over here. He continues. And mentioning rain is appropriate even on day one. It's appropriate to mention it. You know why? Because he says, "Uchshem shetchias hamesim maskir kol hashana kula." Just like we all mention the phenomenon of the resurrection of the dead. May it come true for all Israel in the near future. But in the past, there have been instances of resurrection of the dead. Elisha resurrected a dead child. Elio, the same. So you see in the Bible that Jewish prophets resurrected the dead. So you see, Hashem is the Mashiach. He is the Mechayam Mesim. The Almighty is the one who revives and brings back to life. We say that year round. We don't say that only on Sukkot, only on Pesach, only on Shavuos, only on Hanukkah. We don't. We say that prayer, that declaration in the Amidah is three times a day, every single day. As long as you're alive and saying the Amidah, the Shemoneh Esrei, you are saying the prayer that Hashem revives the dead. It's true. Bein ela bezmana. But the fact is, it's only going to occur in its proper time, in a timing of God's choosing. Worldwide, diaspora-wide, Israel-wide resurrection of the dead, of the Jewish dead, has not happened yet. Individual cases, yes. On a national level, no. And yet here we are saying that prayer, making that, it's a blessing. Blessed are you, God, you revive the dead. It's an explicit blessing that we make. No, we do that year round. Has it happened yet? No. Do we still say it year round? Yeah. Day in and day out, three times a day we say it. So if that's the case, so then same thing over here. Likewise, we may mention the powers of rain all year round. Even though the rain only comes in Israel in the rainy season, basically when Sukkot is concluded and Shemini Atzeres is concluded, then when people go back to their mundane jobs, their mundane lives, so then they're returning back to the way they are, okay? And we mention, then we should be mentioning this year round, even though the rain only comes for 6 months during the year. You still, in theory, could be mentioning Mashivaruach, that God sends rain, even during the summertime. And why not? It's a declaration of fact that God sends the rain. Is he sending the rain in July? No. We all know that. It's only rain only comes during the rainy season. But what's stopping us from acknowledging that God has the power to send rain? And he does send the rain. He sends the rain in the rainy season when it's appropriate. But we should be allowed to say that the Almighty has the power to send rain. I can make that acknowledgement year round. I don't have to wait. Theoretically, I don't have to wait until Sukkot. I could be saying Mashivaruach every day of the year. and it would not be improper. Why? Because God sends the rain. When does he send the rain? When he wants to. In Israel, when is that? Rainy season. In October, and then, you know, whenever the Chagim are concluded, which is in our schedule, our calendar, October, and then it goes all the way through Pesach. That's the rainy season, from the end of Sukkot until the beginning of Pesach. It's like 6 months. That's the rainy season. But Hashem has the ability, you know, first of all, if he wants, he can send it every day of the year. And there's nothing wrong with us mentioning that Hashem has the power to send rain, just the same way that we mention every single day that God resurrects the dead, even though that has not happened on a grand scale. Yet we still say it. So if we say, resurrect, you are the resurrector of the dead, and we say it three times a day all our lives, and it hasn't even happened yet, so then why can't we mention that the Almighty sends the rain when he sends the rain 6 months out of the year? And you can say it the rest of the year too, says Rabbi Eliezer. Because you know why? Because it's not a plea. I'm not begging for rain in that prayer. I'm merely making a statement of fact. God sends the rain, makes the wind blow, and it makes the rain fall, and that's the whole thing. Why can't I do that year-round? I mentioned the resurrection of the dead year-round. So, kach maskirim givus kishon mekol hashana. We should be allowed. We should be able to mention the Mashiach Baruch prayer all year-round, ve'einan ela bezmanan, even though the rain only is due in its proper time during the rainy season, after Sukkot. The Fikach, therefore, Rabbi Elazar says, Imbala Askir Kalashana Kula Maskir, one who wants to mention rain all year round may indeed mention it. Because we're doing the same thing for resurrection of the dead. Why can't you do it over here for rain? See the footnote. Since the phrase Morid HaGeshem, the one who causes the rain to fall, refers to God's bringing of rain in its due season, it may be recited at any point in the year. But the obligation to recite this prayer applies only from the first day of Sukkot until Pesach. All right? In theory, it could be recited throughout the year. Thing is, the obligation to mention it, that only kicks in when you really truly need the rain. And that is after the holiday of Sukkot is concluded until Pesach. So that's his response to Rabbi Joshua. I'm not asking for rain either on day one of the Sukkot. I want rain to come after Shemini Atzeret is concluded. That's Rabbi Eliezer. But actually saying the prayer, why not? Why can't you make this declaration of fact year round? God makes the rain fall. Yeah.
Small. It seems really neat, but the only one they really let you say year round is causes of due to the sand. The thing, rainfall, there are times that they don't want rainfall, and therefore they say, hey, you don't want to put that in the Shemana Esrei, and you want to take that out of there. So it doesn't really say that you can say it, or, even though we want it in the proper season, it doesn't seem that they allow you to say this much of the year.
Right. Yeah, that is, I think that's accurate, that it turns out that liturgically, he has a nice point, but we're not going to say it year-round. We're only going to say this declaration of fact when it's relevant, and it's only relevant between the holidays of, you know, Sukkot and the onset of Pesach. So even though he's got an interesting argument, it's not going to win the day and enable us to say the prayer year-round. Even though I think it's very compelling. His logic is really good. We say Tchias HaMesim, Resurrection of the Dead year-round. Why not this year-round? Maybe nobody's going to really say this, but maybe it's because we're kind of asking for the resurrection of the dead. We are actually asking for it year-round. We are hoping and praying and anticipating and waiting for God to send Elijah, then the Mashiach, then there'll be resurrection of the dead. So we are, you know, hoping and praying for that every single day of the year, that it should happen that day, as opposed to rain. Nobody wants to see any rain during the summer season in Israel because it would jeopardize some of the crops. We don't need rain during that time. We just need rain during the 6 months of the rainy season. So let's stick to that. So maybe there is a distinction there between the thrice daily prayer of resurrection of the dead, which is what we're all hoping for, and the rain, which is what we're not hoping for in the summertime. So there is a difference there. Maybe that's a thought that we should also consider. So I was hoping that we would get down a little bit further, but it is 11:15, 11:20. So this is not a bad place to stop, kind of in the middle of the mini sugya, and it's going to continue, God willing, on Wednesday. There'll be a little bit more fleshing out of this, but it's all very doable. It's all very accessible, Talmud. Nothing terribly, terribly, you know, mind-bending, and that's encouraging. Excuse me. So let's try, God willing, we'll do a little review on Wednesday, and then we'll mop up this mini sugya on Wednesday morning. Should be good. And maybe even go into the next one. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But I don't want to do too much and overload, because that's not this class. Our class is to take it slow, flesh things out, discuss it, get into the mindset of the Talmud, question-answer. That's what we're all about. So not a bad place to stop. Let's stop over here. I want to thank Barry. Thank you for your comments and thoughts. Thank everybody for calling in. And please don't forget, at 1 o'clock, book club class, I'll be reading chapter 3 of Wisdom from the House of Healing. Our Rabbi Emeritus of Gulf Meadows Synagogue, Rabbi Hanan Balk, will be writing on chapter 3. You don't want to miss it. It's a beautiful, thoughtful, at times funny, at times a little bit sad, but that's the book. The book is funny and sad because that's life. And so let's get to that, God willing, at 1 o'clock. Wishing everybody only the best. And with God's help, we'll see everybody at 1 o'clock for book club. And if not for book club, don't forget our class Tuesday night, 7:30 as usual, Tanakh Tuesday at Gulf Meadows Synagogue. We always study Tanakh on Tuesday night. And we're in the middle of Isaiah. We're going to start chapter 2 of Isaiah. Do not miss it, because a lot of chapter 2 is extremely known to everybody from our prayers. So you don't want to miss chapter 2 for anything. It's truly great stuff. Hopefully we'll see you there tomorrow night at 7:30 and this afternoon for book club at 1 o'clock. Thank you so much for calling in. Everybody have a great one. See you at 1 o'clock. Don't miss the book club class. Also going to be fabulous. All best. Bye-bye now.